I want to thank the worship team. That was wonderful. It's a blessing to sing those songs and to focus our attention on our great God, our Lord and Savior. I praise His name for just the opportunity to be here today and to worship Him. I want to encourage you, if you would, you can take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We were supposed to be back in the Gospel of Mark this week, and just felt like the Lord wanted something to follow up on what we looked at last week in Zechariah chapter 4. So if you'd turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5, that would be great. Let's pray together. Lord, You are a great God, and we are blessed because of Your greatness. You are great, Lord, because of all that You've done and who You are. And as we come this morning to Your Word, we would just ask, Lord, that You would speak to us today, that we would hear Your voice, that we would understand the desires of Your heart for us as Your people. And God, that this might be just a blessed time. We thank You, Lord, for all that You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we looked at Zechariah chapter 4 and verses 6 through 10. And we saw in that passage how the remnant that had returned from Babylon was discouraged. They were fearful. They were overwhelmed by the opposition that they had encountered as they worked on rebuilding the temple. And in verse 6, we read the following. This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by force, Zerubbabel, nor by strength, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. In effect, God said to Zerubbabel, the work of rebuilding the temple will not take place through conventional means. It will not happen just because someone lifts a hammer or picks up a rock or moves some earth from one place to another. It will not happen through your might or your strength. It will not happen because you're an expert craftsman or you're a skilled worker. It will happen as My Spirit fills you and moves among you and works through you, declares the Lord Almighty. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, the Apostle Paul made this statement, which has pierced my own heart. He says, the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And I think about that for a moment, and I think about how much we talk about the kingdom of God, how much we know the scripture and we might repeat those things, but how much the power of God is lacking from that which we talk about. You know, that I'm reminded of 1 John, I believe it was, where it says they're known for their godliness, but the power is lacking in their lives. They have a form of godliness, but they lack the power. And I believe that Paul is speaking of the same power that God shared with Zerubbabel, the same power that you and I need to live the Christian life and to be the body of Christ in this world that all you have to do is look at it, that is falling apart. You see, God hasn't changed. His work takes place through His people as they are filled with His Spirit. That's the only way that God works. any work outside of the Spirit is in the flesh. And it's through human effort alone. And it will not last. And as I think back on 38 years of ministry, I have to admit that a lot of what I did, even though I might have preached the word, even though I might have said the right things, was done more in the flesh and not in the spirit. And that kind of work, the scriptures show us, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, will not last. It'll be burned up. But as God's people are filled with His Spirit, His power is released in and through their lives. And that which only God can do, namely the impossible, is accomplished. I want you to think about these statements that I'm going to say right now. Just think about them as they relate to your life. You know, oftentimes we'll hear a sermon preached and we'll say, boy, that was good for so-and-so. But what is God trying to say to me today? What is He trying to say to you today? So listen to these statements. Listen to them. If we're not disillusioned with how much we have allowed our talk to pass for our walk, if we are not discontented with the sparse amount of spiritual fruit we are truly bearing, and if we are not disappointed by the impotence of our own efforts, we will never be distressed enough to really cry out to God to fill us with His Spirit. If we're not disturbed by how little we can do in our own strength and our own power, we'll never be desperate enough to ask God for His. Think about those for a moment. I'll go through them one more time. If we're not disillusioned with how much we have allowed our talk to pass for our walk, if we're not discontented with the sparse amount of spiritual fruit we are truly bearing, and if we're not disappointed by the impotence of our own efforts, we will never be distressed enough to really cry out to God to fill us with His Spirit. If we're not disturbed by how little we can do in our own strength and power, we'll never be desperate enough to ask God for His. You see, I believe this, the scriptures support this, that God is looking for His people to cry out to Him for a filling of His Spirit. What is the filling of the Holy Spirit? When we pray for this, what are we asking God for? Well, in the words of a theologian by the name of Wayne Grudem, who's written a systematic theology, if you'd like to see the book, I'll show it to you. It's got a couple thousand pages in it, I think. But in his words, he says, we're asking God for an event subsequent to conversion. Subsequent to a time, the time when we became a new creation in Christ, in which a believer experiences a fresh infilling with the Holy Spirit that may result in a variety of consequences, including greater love for God, greater victory over sin, greater power for ministry, and sometimes even the receiving of new spiritual gifts. Now, as Scripture clearly reveals, every Christian receives the Holy Spirit upon conversion. In fact, the Holy Spirit, we're told in the Bible, is a sign and seal of our redemption in Jesus Christ. It's a sign and seal upon a believer's life that he or she is a child of God. Being born again is the greatest miracle any human being can possibly experience. And it only happens by the omnipotent power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And this is what Jesus told Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, in their discussion with each other, Jesus said to him, "Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. Unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man like me go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born by the Spirit." So the reason we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit as an event that is subsequent to conversion is because that's how the New Testament usually talks about the filling of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul was exhorting believers in Christ. He was exhorting Christians when he wrote, "Be filled with the Spirit." And almost all of Luke's descriptions in the book of Acts are of believers being filled with the Holy Spirit, those who were already born again. As we read last Sunday in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when the church gathered and they prayed following Peter and John's release from the Sanhedrin, we're told at the end there in verse 31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all what? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. And so when we're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're actually talking about events in our lives. Because the same people here that we look at who received the Holy Spirit at conversion also asked for and received repeated fillings of the Spirit as we go through the book of Acts. We see that. We too need to be repeatedly filled with the Spirit of God. According to the New Testament, we need to be repeatedly filled with the Holy Spirit for two purposes. One is empowered worship, and the other is empowered witness or empowered ministry. Let's consider empowered worship first of all, or what we'll call this morning, being intoxicated with God. Okay, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, where Paul told Christians, be filled with the Spirit. And when he was talking to them here, he was talking about Spirit-empowered worship. He said, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful when we read these verses that we don't let our familiarity with them or our experience-based preconceptions of worship or worship styles or other things to cause us to miss what the Holy Spirit intends for us to understand here. Paul is saying, don't be intoxicated with alcohol, but be intoxicated with God. In other words, confront each other. What's happening here is Paul is confronting each of us with the penetrating question, are you intoxicated with God? Are you intoxicated with God? Does your heart so overflow with the love for God that whether you are going through, you know, a heavy time in life where life is burdening you down, or whether it's going along smoothly, you can't help but sing, both to God and to one another, about your relationship with Him. No matter what our circumstances are we overflowing with thanks to God? No matter what they are, is there thanks to God, even in the midst of great hardship? If not, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we're not worshipfully enjoying God according to the grace that He has made available to us. That means we're not glorifying God as we ought, and we are not experiencing the satisfaction in God like we can have, like we might have. And so we're encouraged by Paul here to be filled with the Spirit, that we might engage in empowered worship, worship that encourages one another as believers and is filled with praise and thanksgiving to God. And so that's one of the purposes of being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that our worship will be empowered. The second purpose for believers being filled with the Spirit is for empowered witness, for empowered service, for empowered ministry to God. When Luke described this experience of Spirit filling among Christians, its purpose was for Spirit-filled witness. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. We looked at it last week. Let's look at it once again. And that prayer gathering of believers. They've come. They've just been released from the Sanhedrin. And now they pray. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. And grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Those early Christians were feeling fear, naturally, because of everything that was taking place. They were feeling fear from the threats of the religious authorities, the same authorities that had crucified Jesus on the cross. But their response was to ask God, not for a way out, not for special protection, as we said last week, but that was to ask God for boldness to preach the gospel and for supernatural power to minister to people. And we're told God answered that prayer. Don't let yourself, when we have a tendency when we look at verses to look at them in a certain way. And I want to just caution us here. Don't let yourself be immediately distracted by popular controversies related to scriptures like this, or whether all miraculous gifts in the New Testament continue or have ceased. Because a lot of times as Christians, when we look at verses like this, we get stuck on stuff like that. That's not what we're looking at here. There are more fundamental questions here for us to ask. And one is this. In life, are you responding to your fears of real physical threats, of disapproval, or scorn with desperate prayer for God to empower you to overcome? Are you laying hold of God? Listen to this. Are you laying hold of God until He answers? Until He answers. If not, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we are allowing fear, we're allowing unbelief to strangle us, to mute our witness to the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because we are silent, people are not hearing the gospel that need to hear it. And so believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit are empowered for witness. Empowered for witness. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be empowered for worship and empowered for witness. I don't know if that's true of your life or not. I know that that's what I want. And so where do we go from here? How many of us as believers are willing to say, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes for me to be filled with your Spirit, may it happen. Whatever it takes. Here's wonderful news. Our Heavenly Father loves to give His Holy Spirit to those who ask. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, we read, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Just prior to that verse, Jesus said in verse 10, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open." Let me ask you some questions here. Do you feel dry in your Christian life? Are you weary? Be honest. Don't think about somebody else. Think about you this morning, where you're at in your walk, in your life with Christ. Do you feel dry in your Christian life? Are you weary? Are you tired of talking so much about glorious theology, but not experiencing the reality of it? Does your worship feel distracted and hollow? Are you lacking in thanksgiving and gratitude to God? Do you long for more fruit, both, you know, internal fruit, the internal fruit of the Holy Spirit, spoken of in Galatians chapter 5, love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. Do you long for more of that? And do you long for external fruit of an empowered ministry that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15? Then you're a good candidate for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Your dryness and discouragement may in fact be invitations from God to cry out to Him for a fresh filling. The desperation that comes from living, one writer said this, the desperation that comes from living with low ebbing affections and spiritual impotence can itself be a gift from the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Well, because it's when we become disillusioned and disillusioned enough with our mere talk and our anemic worship and our weak selves that we really become prepared to pray. Whatever it takes, Lord. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And any gifting you would be pleased to give me that as well. Where are you this morning? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. They're going to play a song before we partake of communion together today. But I want you to think about, where am I at today? Do I know the filling of the Holy Spirit? Or is God saying to me, ask me. Ask me for that and I'll give it to you. But we have to ask. Will you please stand?